Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor, and the other would be there to pick that other person when they fall up. When they fall down, up. Amen. That sounded way better. Right? We are your hosts. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
And we're still married. You know, it's been a long time. A long time coming. Oh, but I know my change is gonna come. Yeah, change is gonna come, Chelsea. You know what? And if we could actually just be okay with the change that comes, we would be all right. Mm-hmm. There's only a few things guaranteed in life. I learned this from Miles Monroe, Chelsea, that change is one of those things. You are guaranteed that how things were at a certain point, they will not be that way at another point. And it's terrifying. Yeah. I said it. Terrifying. Right? So now you couple that with your fragile marriage.
Yes.
You know. It doesn't have to be fragile, but it is. That joint is fragile. One bad argument and, you know, hey, somebody's going to jail or dying. I said it. Mm-hmm. And your fragile marriage has to also go through the change of life, and it just leaves you here. But we're back. That's the beautiful thing. We're back.
Yes, amen.
And how are you, my dear? I know how you are, but that's for me to say that so the people can know how you are and stuff, okay. You know.
You know, I don't really always know how to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it depends on what you mean.
Oh. Well.
Because all of my basic needs are met.
Uh-huh.
And I also have beyond my basic needs.
It's true.
I have general health and strength.
Mm-hmm. A loving husband.
Yeah, loving husband, healthy sometimes. Children, generally healthy children.
Generally healthy, yes.
And, you know, nothing severe.
No.
And so how am I? I'm good.
You're
but
good.
It depends on what you mean.
Okay. Well, I mean it in the natural sense. And
you mean it in the holistic sense?
I don't mean it in a deep, you know, I ain't being deep, you know.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we've been through some things, but I ain't even, you know, this is just a natural, not a grand scope of of life. Is how are you? This is a question that sometimes we don't. You know what? That's a good thing that you said that, Chelsea, because that's not a natural question that that a husband necessarily, or a wife, would ask her husband.
Mm-hmm.
In a shallow sense.
Mm.
It's not as natural, you know, because I see you every day and I know I'm generally going to see you barring something, you know, catastrophic. So now when you see other people in church or,
right.
at work, you can say, hey, how you doing? And you got to say, okay, I'm good. It's like a natural salutation.
Yes.
A natural greeting.
Yes.
Where you don't greet your husband or wife like that. If I say to you, how are you? Naturally, you say, okay, maybe it's a deeper thing. Because why would he be asking me how I am? You live with me.
Right.
So that's
right. So you right. know I'm generally
so
well.
I know you're generally well. So if I'm taking that time, it's like, oh, okay, how am I really doing?
Right.
But the good thing is like, that's par for that course.
Yes.
Par for that course is we're married and I know how you're generally doing, but mm-hmm. I'm also not God.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you let me into your world
yes,
a
yes.
little deeper. And that's, right. you're that person. That's why you said, oh, what do you really mean?
See? Yes.
So maybe I should have meant it deep.
Amen. Well, yeah, it depended on what you intended for the people. Mm-hmm. Because if it was just you and I talking, then
I understand.
That's different. But it's like,
well, we're open books on the podcast.
Is this salutation or is this, that was a perfect word for it. Is this a salutation or is this a real question?
It's a therapeutic session now.
Not even a therapeutic session, you know, but just like, do you want the real answer or do you want the salutation?
You want the real answer, you know, mm-hmm. but I was just asking.
I mean, I'm generally okay. I mean, so we had, I think, shared on the podcast before last that we were expecting. Oh. And unfortunately, I had a miscarriage, which this is the first miscarriage that I knowingly, like, have had.
Sure.
And unfortunately, since it was, I was almost 13 weeks by the time my body actually miscarried, like, mm-hmm. went through the process, you know, it was like going into labor.
Mm-hmm.
And except bad, like worse. So yeah, I mean, that's been difficult. And that just happened last week, like, you know, like a week ago ish, a little over a week ago. So obviously I'm not great. Yes. You know, my body is still healing and I feel a lot better, but I don't feel 100%. And, you know, certain things that happen, there is no going back to normal. It's like a new normal, you know, so.
New normals, yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I can't really say like, oh, I'm almost back to normal. It's like, yeah. Like whoever I'm going to be after this experience, you know, I guess I'm on my way to becoming that.
That's the difference. It's a different thing to have, you know, these experiences, man. It's like a certain experience. Well, you know what? Crazy enough, all our experiences shape who we are. But some of them are more apparent. And those are the ones that are more noteworthy and honestly worth telling sometimes. But sometimes those can be the tragic ones. Sadly.
Yes.
Yes. But we are here and the Lord is good. And we give him praise because he's good.
Amen.
And he's done many things, and he does all things well. So today, we're talking about, you know, our theme for this season. I was going to say series, but it's a series for the season. Is, you know, why should I get married?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that was actually a great segue because that was trauma. Yes. That was traumatic. And today we're talking about, I ran into something on Facebook with Lecrae, the Christian rapper Lecrae.
Cray.
And this quote says, my wife was marrying a man who's walking into the marriage with 7 of the 8 major childhood traumas.
Yikes.
And I had never even heard of
that
8 major childhood traumas
me
before.
Yes,
like, I didn't know how they categorized it and whatnot.
Yeah. I'm sure there's subsets, but these are probably the overarching standards.
Right? Yeah, major.
The major traumas. Yes, you don't want to talk about, you know, shout out to Tony Baker having to eat spaghetti and chocolate milk at the same, you know, same lunch. Like, oh, is that spaghetti and chocolate milk? Oh, gosh. You know, having to lick the pole outside when it's freezing or something and your tongue getting stuck or, you know.
Well, that could be traumatic depending on the circumstances.
Yes, it could. Everything is traumatic depending on how you took it.
Well, and depending on how it went down. Why did you have to lick the pole?
That's fair. Yes.
Were you being bullied?
Were you just being goofy?
Right, exactly. Right. If you were being goofy, that's not traumatic.
I'm traumatized. I was goofy, but I'm still traumatized, Chelsea. It's not my fault, but it is.
And how hard was it to remove your tongue?
It was rough. Do you have a new tongue? You got a prosthetic tongue now.
Now that's traumatic.
It's very traumatic. Very good.
Yes, indeed. But, yeah, so I looked up the eight major childhood traumas. I mean, this is a random website, but hopefully this is accurate.
Well, probably.
So number one is bullying. Number two, which it has to be, it says it usually is recurrent and chronic. It's not just like a one-time thing.
Sure.
Number two is community violence.
Mercy.
So I'm just making sure we have an understanding of all of these. This is not something that directly happens to you.
It's in the vicinity.
It's you have like being exposed to.
You're in the hood.
Yes.
All right.
Disasters, which could include personal disaster like homelessness or something like that, or natural disasters or community disasters like your church burned down or something. Number four, domestic abuse between partners. So seeing violence and threats against a caregiver. Number five is medical trauma. So children who have dealt with serious injuries or serious diseases. Number six, traumatic separation, when you are separated for a prolonged time from a caregiver or sibling or something like that. Number seven is refugees trauma. Results from war, persecution, or violence in the child's country of origin, as well as from the process of displacement or even the disruptions and transitions of resettlement into the destination country. And number eight is physical abuse, which that speaks for itself. Like you yourself endured physical abuse.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot to have for one person.
My God. I mean, I'm guessing the only thing Lecrae hasn't experienced is refugees' trauma. Mm-hmm. That if I could, you know, figure out which one it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah, well, mercy indeed.
That would be, and it may not even have been the one. It might have just not been from the hood.
Maybe.
Just experienced all these things. Wow. So, I mean, it's always noteworthy when going into marriage and being about to tie a very spiritual bond with a person that you can actually take time to observe their character and how they act and how they are in certain situations. But it's, I feel like it's so much harder to dig deeper than their actual character and go into like their soul. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. in their mind, it's like, why is this person this way?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why why are they doing certain things a certain way, but what has caused them to do these things that certain way?
Mm-hmm.
When I think about, and here's the thing, Chels, is that everything stems from that. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like nothing about you is not affected by how you were raised.
And for the better or for the worst.
Right.
Or for the indifferent.
For the indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, when it's the guy that like, hey man, I always gotta smell fresh, you know what I'm saying? I always gotta be clean. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He's cool now.
Mm-hmm.
He's cool now, Chelsea. This is the guy. Oh, I always gotta have a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Always gotta have a nice car. It's funny. In my mind I can see Desi Banks. I don't even know if you know who that is, but he's so funny. he's so funny. But he I could just see this guy. Oh, I'm always fresh, I'm always clean, I always got a nice car. And that's so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It's so innocent, Chelsea, and it's something that a natural person would be like, you know what? Wow, that's such a good thing for him to feel.
Yeah.
He look at him. He's always smelling good, and he's always fresh and clean, and, he always has a nice car,
mm-hmm.
and he always has money in his pocket. It's like nobody thinks the root is homelessness,
mm-hmm.
you know, natural disasters, being displaced. Mm-hmm. I'm a refugee. It's like I come from nothing,
mm-hmm.
and I've always had that. And now because of that, I have a crutch.
Yes.
I have a crutch of like, I can't feel that again.
Yes. And it drives a lot of the decisions you make.
Yeah.
It can cause you to prioritize things that maybe shouldn't be a priority.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause you to have stress and anxiety.
Yes.
About like maintaining it and attaining it and then sustaining it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't realize that it's like, you know, we have things that we're hung up on that we shouldn't be hung up on, or we don't realize how important certain things are to us for those reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, wow, it's just like we don't think of things in that regard. So now it's become a crutch to you,
mm-hmm.
in that you don't want to experience that again. And that's just amazing, because you don't look at that person as somebody who has an issue.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how Christ, he knows the root of things. Like,
yes, he does.
He is the root, right? He's the root and the branch of Jesse.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But he knows the root of those things.
Yes.
And I sit there trying to think of me, like, you know, like I'm a stickler for time, Chels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a true stickler, but I'm.
No, you're a true stickler.
No, I'm not.
Are, because it bothers you when other people are not on time.
Well, yes, when they're supposed to be on time, yes.
Which is always, really.
Yes. But it's because somebody always late.
Yeah.
But it's not. Well, here's the thing, Chelsea. I feel like a true stickler is somebody who's late about everything that's late. Who's mad about everything that's late. I'm not mad about everything that's late. I'm mad when things are supposed to be on time and they're supposed to matter. This is where I have a problem. Okay. So I'm working, you know, if you at work, you're supposed to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this is your job and your livelihood.
And they're paying you.
Paying you to be here. Yeah. You should be on time. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're at church, like, this is your service to God. Why are you late?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. That makes me feel like you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But other stuff is, you know, I mean, if it don't affect me, I don't care that much. I feel like a true stickler would be mad about everything that was late.
Well, you were just fussing about me being, which I was not late, but you thinking I was going to be late to a hair appointment, and that didn't really affect you at all.
Well, that does affect me.
How?
Because if somebody is ignorant and says to you, hey, because you're late for this appointment, I'm not doing your hair today, or I'm charging you a late fee, that affects me. Not to mention, yes, you are me, so you're different. We're one.
Okay.
If you're late, then I'm late. See?
I just want you to be aware that you're a stickler.
That's all right, all. I'm a stickler. Let's go with that. That's fine.
All. Yes.
Yeah, but
meanwhile, I wasn't late. But that's fair. It's okay.
Yes. So, but I don't know where these things come from, Chels. And I was reading this morning. It was about it was in John 9. About this is the man who was blind from his youth. Wow. And there it is. He was blind from his youth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about his crutches that he had growing up. He's blind. He's blind from his youth, and Christ comes into the town and sees that. And matter of fact, he sees him, but the disciples say to him, Rabbi, why is this man a sinner? Or I'm sorry, that's probably what they wanted to say. But why is this man blind? Who sinned that made him blind? Him mm-hmm. or his parents? And mm-hmm. then Christ says, no one sinned.
Yeah.
But really that basically saying that the glory of God could be shown.
That's it.
And when you actually like, you know what? Here's the thing, Chels. The glory of God is the biggest. How do I say this? Because it's in my notes. I was thinking about this. Is that nothing is more likely to derail your life than the glory of God.
Mm.
Like nothing is more.
Yeah.
Nothing is more willing and able
mm-hmm.
to make your life
hard.
Completely hard and yes. inconvenient yes. than God's glory.
Yes.
Here is a man, it's like literally for the sake of God's glory, he had to live his entire life blind.
Yes.
Until the moment that Christ was to come and walk into his town.
Yes.
And his disciples were supposed to call him a raggedy sinner.
Yes.
Obviously, they didn't say, did anybody sin? They said, who sinned?
Who did it? Because somebody did.
Somebody sinned. We know this. We know some sin is over there. There's yes. some sin over there because he wouldn't have been blind from birth. We know that, Lord. So that's been established.
First of all, can we park for just 1 second?
Yeah, park on it.
Because there's still some Christians today that would tell you that, like prosperity preachers, they're the ones that'll tell you, like, this is not supposed to happen to you.
Uh-oh.
And we have a very, very close friend who came from a prosperity type of background.
Yes.
Who really struggled with the fact that her pastor died. After they all prayed spoke in tongues and laid all hands that. And oil and all the that. Things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did all the things. They fasted. They did all the things.
Everything possible.
And he died.
Still died.
And it's like, well, how does that happen? Because what about, and he wasn't old.
Right.
So it's like, how does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now what do we do with our doctrine?
What do we do?
What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Because this means.
Something ain't right. Yes.
But sometimes. Oftentimes,
mm-hmm.
it was literally supposed to happen. It wasn't.
Yes.
It wasn't a rebuke or a punishment or right. any of that. You know, it was God said, because I'm going to get the glory out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I just wanted to acknowledge that, because there's some people out there yeah. that would say, well, what sin do you have in your life? Repent of your sin. Oh, well, you know, who are you connected with? Break those ties.
Yeah.
Oh, well, have you been praying right? Have you been reading your word? Have you haven't received the Holy Ghost. You need to be speaking in tongues.
Yes.
It's like they're going to say something. You're missing something
it's
because
you.
God does not
right.
bring calamity on people.
Oh, my God.
And that's totally untrue.
Couldn't be more inaccurate.
And unfortunately, it causes a lot of people to fall away, because then they feel like everything they've been told is a lie.
Yes.
And now they don't not only distrust the people who taught them this doctrine, they now distrust God.
Now they distrust God.
Because they feel like God is a liar. No, no.
Right.
That was a misunderstanding.
Yes, it was a misnomer.
Yeah.
You've erred.
Yes.
You've erred from the faith. If you think God doesn't bring calamity, here's the thing. God himself does not always bring calamity.
Right, he allows.
Right, he allows, right? Mm-hmm. And he uses... Number one is always, when he brings calamity, it's almost always because of sin.
Yes.
If not, you know, because there are certain times where it says the Bible he came to Job in an earthquake. He came to Job in a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was causing damage, right?
Sure.
But then
I didn't even think about that.
Neither did I until I just thought about it, right? But then there's times, most of the time, what he allows.
I'm sorry, because you know I'd be saying that in movies and stuff, like, dang, they was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. All these high-speed chases, they be tearing people's cars up. I'm like, dang, sucked to be you on that street that
tearing
day.
Tearing my car up. And then find out it was the Lord. Lord, how you going to tear my car up like that? Because you had to talk to Job. Why couldn't you talk to him over there?
I'm telling you.
That's funny. But most of the time, and I'm sitting, like, all the calamity, he just allows other people who, realistically, he's restraining.
Yeah.
Like he's restraining sin.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's like, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. He has done that, right? In the New Testament, you know, people came against Moses and he killed them, or he opened up hell.
Yeah.
And they just fell in.
Yeah.
Ananias and Sapphira, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord, you know, they dropped dead. It wasn't Peter. Like, Peter
and that
didn't
was
kill
New
him.
Testament.
And that's New Testament, right?
Yeah.
But most of the time is he's saying, okay, like with Nebuchadnezzar, because I'm just finished Jeremiah. And that's a whole Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, I'm in Jeremiah.
Hey, that's what I'm talking
about. I'm almost done though.
Nebuchadnezzar, he's you know, he's just trying to take over everything. And God says, okay, I'm going to let him.
And I noticed, too, he said, my servant.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, not Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was the other king?
I mean, there's a lot of kings.
Yeah, but he said, my servant. But it wasn't an Israelite king.
Darius, maybe? Cyrus? One of them.
Like, he called one of them his servant because they were doing his work.
Yes, you're doing
not
what I need you to do.
Not because you're my child,
no.
But because you're using my work. So whether you know it or not, you're still in line with my will and doing my bidding. So therefore, you're still my servant,
still
even
my
though
servant.
You didn't choose to be.
My God, that's the thing. And God, he's bringing that onto his people.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the issue, Chelsea, is like we are all guilty of woe is me.
Yes.
All of us, and especially Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're super guilty of woe is me because God has been, you know, so gracious to us that anytime something goes wrong, we automatically start thinking, oh no. Like, oh God. And you know, I've actually graduated from I graduated, Chels, because when certain things go wrong, when you're a less mature Christian, you think it's because of your sin, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you feel like God is punishing you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the truth is that God doesn't punish you for your sin anymore because God punished Christ for your sin.
Mm.
So he's not going to punish you for something he already punished somebody for.
He is going to chastise you, though.
Yes, but that's not punishment.
Right.
It's
correction.
That's correction.
Yes.
Right?
That's good.
That is good, right? Because when you're, like, here's the thing. When something goes wrong, you're just like, oh, God must be mad at me. He's like, no, there's scripture that says, I'll never be mad at you again. Mm. Literally, God says, I'll never be angry with you again.
Yeah.
Like, like I told you, in this new covenant, I'm going to put how you're supposed to feel. I'm putting my law in your heart.
Yeah.
And I will not remember your sins. Right?
Anymore.
Your sins have literally been judged on the cross at Christ. Like, your sins don't exist to God anymore.
Wow.
But in the natural sense, and even in the spiritual sense, your sins still have a consequence.
Absolutely.
And you're going to suffer the consequence of your sin, but it's not because God is over here trying to punish you.
Right.
He's not making your life hard because of the sin you committed.
Right.
No, life is hard because of sin in the world.
Amen.
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 Like, it's going to be hard. There is something that has to be paid because of sin, whether it was your fault or not your fault. You're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Things go wrong and you just have to deal with those things. But God does it for his glory.
Yeah.
It's like his glory says that, hey guys, I know you've been tithing and offering and you've been seeking my face. You know what? I think I'm gonna let your house light on fire. This is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my mind, I don't know if he says it like that, but it's like bad things happen to really good people
Absolutely.
Of faith, like people who really love the Lord
all the time,
right? And it's like, it's not that. Here's the thing. The enemy only comes to steal. He comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if he's coming, he's only coming to steal, kill, or destroy.
That's it.
Which means that if he had his way, there would be nothing anymore.
Yeah.
All would be destroyed. But he that restraineth. Holy Spirit, God, yeah. right, on the earth, holds back mm-hmm. everything that could happen. But every now and then, God says, okay, I'll just let you, all right, Satan, yeah. you can have that. No mm-hmm. problem.
Within these boundaries.
Within these boundaries, yeah. right? It's just like he did with Job. Like, mm-hmm. You can do this, but don't, you can't kill him, okay?
I must mention, though, with Job, he brought it up to him. Mm-hmm. So, like, it is hold on
before you go.
Go ahead.
But the issue is like, the worsening that it could be is stuff we almost never see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But every now and then, God just allows, okay, you can experience this or you can experience this. But he always does it for his glory.
Yeah.
And we miss it, Chels.
Yeah.
Because we're wrapped up in, why is this happening? When he already said, my glory.
Yeah.
I will not share it with another. Mm-hmm. I am trying to get glory out of your life. That's why I saved you in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Job.
Yeah.
He brought it to him.
He brought it up because he said, you know, Satan's there. He says, where are you coming from? He said, just scouring the earth.
Yes.
Walking to and fro, seeing who I can devour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you considered my servant Job? Have you messed with him yet? Have you noticed that he serves me all the time and he just loves me all the time? And
he seems perfect.
You know, he's the most upright man on the earth. Have you noticed him?
Oh, man.
And that's where things get interesting.
It does get interesting, Chuck.
That's where things get interesting, because did God do those things to him? No. But God literally, like, presented the opportunity in front of Satan.
Yeah.
Like, hey, have you thought about messing with him yet? Mm. And he knew what the result of that would be.
Wow.
Oh, well, yeah, let me see if I, I bet you I can get him to, you know, curse you. And you know, just renounce you and, you know, all of that type, and just fall off or fall into sin or
right.
whatever the case may be. I bet you I can make him do that. It's because you just let everything go well in his life.
Yes.
Like, if you just let something bad happen to him, he wouldn't be like that. Mm. But God brought the conversation up. He mentioned that man's name to Satan on purpose.
It's funny.
So, like, then he says, all right, do what you want to do. But it's like, but you did this, God. It wasn't, no, Satan didn't come to you and say, can I mess with Job? You said, hey, you want to mess with Job?
Mm-hmm. Hey,
and it's like, Job? That is something to be examined as well,
it
I
is.
Think. Because a friend of mine that I was just talking to, she was saying that there are some times where, like, it seems like God contradicts himself.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, he's not contradicting himself. It's just that our human understanding, we can't put him in the box of our human understanding.
No.
Because, like, really, that's, like,
hurtful.
Why
would you say that, Lord?
It's hurtful, but it's, that's not the word I was looking for. It's like, it's just small-minded. Like, to actually think that you can figure it out, how it all works together and how he all works together, we can't, you know? And most of the time we can make it make sense, but sometimes we can't in our limited understanding. Like, not everything is going to be explained and understood. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that. There's some things you won't understand until I come back and you have a glorified mind and body, you know, and you're in a perfect state. Like, right now, there's just, you're limited because you're human, you know? And I think that that can be one of the biggest struggles, is like, God, I don't get you.
Yeah.
I don't get you. I don't, not just, I don't get it. I don't get you. Because, and that's something I can do more study on, but, like, understanding why, like, how God says, I don't tempt man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're drawn away by your own lust.
Correct.
And how he can say, I don't actually, like, bring that type of calamity on you. It's like, I allowed Satan to do it.
Yes.
But why did you, like, bring it to Satan for him to ponder?
Right.
So you started it.
You funny. Well, he didn't start it.
He did start it.
I can't say he started it, because here's the thing. The enemy, Satan, he is the accuser of the brethren. He stands in the assembly constantly accusing the brethren.
Yes, yes.
It's already in his heart.
Sure.
So he's already there looking for somebody.
But all I'm saying is, why did you make him specifically think on Job at this moment?
Because Job could handle it.
But that's the thing. It's like, yes, it was still for his glory.
Yes.
It was still for his glory, and he still had a purpose and plan for that pain. Yes. But yet sometimes God does. Just straight up. Lazarus is over here dying. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, they come to him and say, Lord, the one you love. I just read this with Corey. The one you love is sick. And it was great that we had a chance to read that because I was able to apply it to, because she knew that about the baby, for those mm-hmm. who are listening. She knew about the baby and she's struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And that was like something I was really struggling with, was that, Lord, you know, we told people sooner than we initially intended to. Mm-hmm. And but that literally was like a decisive faith walk for me, mm-hmm. you know, because I was aware that, you know, after, like, once you get to 12 weeks, that's kind of like the, okay, you're probably good now. And so I mean, I found out that, you know, like, I had some symptoms that caused me to find out that the baby had no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. 12 weeks on the dot. So it's like, it was right at the end of that period. Mm-hmm. But like, if we would have waited until Christmas, like we initially planned, we wouldn't have told all these people. Mm-hmm. And Corey wouldn't have known. Mm-hmm. And then our 8-year-old daughter wouldn't have had to process losing the baby as well. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't have had to go through everybody having to now give their condolences, which I hate that process. But yeah, I appreciate the heart behind it, but I hate receiving it. I prefer to just leave things where they are and not talk about it anymore.
And that comes from childhood as well.
Probably.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like, I don't want everybody bringing it up to me every time that, oh, mm-hmm. oh, it's all, oh, how you hanging in there? It's like, you're just reminding me that I'm struggling. But anyway, mm-hmm. God bless them. It comes from a good place. But you know, she and I went over the Lazarus thing. Let me reel it in. We read through that. We've been reading her children's Bible at night. And I was able to apply it to her. I said, look right here. It says, the one you love is sick. Mm-hmm. So I said, when we go through hard things, does that mean that God doesn't love us? And she's like, no. I'm like, he could love us very much. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be besties with him. And, you know, but then he waited. I said, why did he wait? You know, and she says, because for Lazarus to die. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's it. He waited for him to die. And then I'm like, well, why did he wait for him to die? You know, like, why didn't he go help him while he was just still sick and not make him have mm-hmm. to die? And, you know, so I was helping her to just, you know, be able to work through the understanding of it or whatever. And, you know, but like, then he says, this was like, the disciples are like, why didn't we just go right away? He said, because this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it's like, literally, this man was Jesus's close friend, mm-hmm. and he loved him.
Yeah.
But like you said, he knew that this was someone he could trust to go through this process the way it was supposed to be going through, that God might get the glory. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's the people that's closest to him that he entrusts mm-hmm. with hardship
yeah.
at those higher degrees,
right?
You know, because those are the people that he can get the glory out of.
Right.
They're not going to. And we recently read the parable about the sower as well, where it's like, some of them, you know, it gets choked out. Some of them get scorched by the sun. Some of them get uprooted. Mm-hmm. All these things come. Mm-hmm. And uproot you or ruin your witness or shake you up. And if that happens, but then there's some who were planted in fertile soil. And when all those things come, then you even look at, you know, the house that's built on a rock versus the house that's built on the sand. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's two different types of people
yeah.
that, you know, receive the word of God. It's the ones that are going to fall by the wayside and allow not be able to be entrusted to give God glory versus the people who will, you know. But it's all about the foundation, and it's about the relationship. It's about the closeness, because if these things happen and you're not close to God and you don't really know him that well,
there's no glory.
You can't.
Right.
It takes the Holy Spirit to really help you to even be able to wrap right. your mind around these things. To even see it. And it takes experience with God, and it takes right. knowledge of him through his word mm-hmm. for you, and time with him, for you to really even just be like, okay, like, I know you well enough to, as that phrase goes, even though I don't understand your hand, I still trust your heart, you know, to be that person, you know. But I was able to tell her, you know, like, God gets the glory out of these things still, mm-hmm. and he has a plan for it. You know, and of course she's young, so we couldn't go into too much detail, but I'm like, he has a plan for it, though. Mm-hmm. So you see how he had a plan for Lazarus and many people, and that whole story in the Bible ends with, and many believed, mm-hmm. but then some plotted to kill Jesus.
Certainly.
But many came to believe because right. of what they saw.
Correct.
This one man died, mm-hmm. and many were saved.
Yes.
First of all, let's just talk about Jesus. All right, that's mm-hmm. Jesus. One man died, mm-hmm. and many are saved. And that's what he's trying to do with our life as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but that also involves like a dying to self, mm-hmm. that many might be saved. So it's hard to, I don't know, like we don't always get it. You know, like we may not always know what the purpose is. We mm-hmm. may not even always see the fruit of these things, but God knows.
Yeah, well, you know, that's all good. That's good. I think we do know the purpose. Like for those of us who are more mature, mm-hmm. and it's like, I know that my life was created. I was made in Christ Jesus to do good works.
Yes.
Right? And I know I'm created for his glory. You know, another way to describe his glory is what, and I heard Pastor Morris say this, that the glory of a person is what they're known for. Mm. And it's like, you know, for anybody, you know, Barack Obama, his glory is for being, you know, the first black president.
Yes.
You know, and being a president.
Yes.
God bless him. People who are great, you know, Frank Sinatra, his glory is being a, you know, great singer, whatever.
Yes.
It's like if we're here to make God known, mm-hmm. and to make his presence known, it's like for us to give him glory means that we are trying to really essentially make his name famous.
Yes.
Right? Because he's God and his name, it actually means something to the earth. Mm. It's like, it's not like a person where it's futile. It literally takes on such a drastic approach. That's not the word I'm looking for. It's so much more weighty. Mm. You trying to give God glory than it is to like make someone famous. God, he actually deserves glory. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody being famous is a matter of opinion. Mm-hmm. As a person, like, oh, well, we really like this person, so we're going to make them. There's people that's famous right now that aren't even good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And then there's somebody who nobody knows who's phenomenal.
It's true.
Right? But they don't have any glory. Why? Just because people decided. But God is not to be trifled with.
Yeah, it's not a decision to be made.
It's not a decision to be made. This is when Peter says, who am I to say to the potter, mm-hmm. that you have made me wrong, mm. or I don't like how you're molding me. It's like, you don't understand this. And this is where God's glory and friendship with God and closeness with God and walking with God and seeking his face always has to be in perspective. And the perspective is that God is literally God.
Yeah.
He's not the idea of God. It's like, no, you know, that whole supreme ruler, creator, authoritative, dominion having, overarching creator of all things, almighty El Shaddai, Elohim, yeah. God. No, that's him. Mm-hmm. And okay, if he's him, mm-hmm. then who am I?
And you can put a period.
You could have just stopped there, right? It's a rhetorical question. Uh-huh. I am clay. I'm literally dust that he's formed.
Yeah.
And so now he says, okay, well, I want to get glory out of your life, which means if he is who he says he is, the glory that he desires to get out of my life is correct. Mm. This is the hard part of the closeness with God.
Yeah.
Is that what he decides is right.
That's it.
Everything.
Everything.
Good comes to me. He was right.
Yeah.
Bad comes to me. He was right. Lies come to me. He was right. Mm-hmm. Calamity. Right. This is the hard part.
Yeah.
So now when you look at Job, It really doesn't matter what Job went through. Mm-hmm. God was right.
He was right.
He was right.
And that's the hard thing that sometimes we have to wrap our minds around.
Yes.
That whether we get it or not, you're still right.
Right. Like he was right, because here's the thing. It's like, if God is going to get glory out of people, who else is he going to do it through? Mm-hmm. He can't do it through. I mean, he gets glory from creation.
Yes.
But they can't speak for him.
Yes.
So now it's like, I have you here as little me. It's like, I've made you in my image. Like, I need you to. Like, you have to speak on my behalf.
That's
like
the whole purpose.
Give me glory.
Yep.
But like now, that's the beautiful thing, is that he chose a perfect and upright man. He didn't choose a baby who had belief and had no experience.
Right, right.
And wasn't ready, because they would have crumbled under the weight of the hand of Satan.
Yeah.
And they would have never made it out, and there would have been no glory. There would have been no testimony.
Yeah.
And that's with anybody. Like, you know, you have to be able to even handle God's glory.
Yeah.
To be able to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to handle what he brings through it.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to give it to him.
Yeah.
It's something.
It is. It's something. Much so.
But, and that's a long roundabout. We're talking about childhood trauma. I don't even know how we got there.
Well, this is all talking about just trauma. The fact that God allows trauma.
Right.
The fact that God ordains trauma.
Yeah.
And makes it a part of his plan. Mm-hmm. And that it has to be, it takes a maturity in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, to know that, like, he's not, because, you know, whenever you meet people who are, like, strongly against God, you know, one of the main things you will hear them say is, like, how can you think that how can the God of the Bible be such a loving God? They'll say, like, have you read the Old Testament? That was horrific. Like, that's not love. Do you see what's going on in the world today? He's not a loving God. If there is a God, he ain't loving. You know what I'm saying? That's like, they're quick to go there. Like, why would you serve a God like that? He's crazy. And it's like, and in our understanding, without his word, without his spirit, you know, the things of God are literally foolishness to us, you know? And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in our sense. It doesn't, you know? But then he gives you a piece that passes understanding sometimes. Because our understanding, it don't matter how close to God you are, your understanding is limited.
Certainly.
It might be more than somebody else's, but you, like, if anybody had the full understanding of God, we would be able to be him, right? I mean, apart from still needing the power to be, like, 100% righteous. But, like, nobody knows everything the way that he does and understands everything the way that he does. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Way higher. Way above. So, like, and we never want to get to a place where we actually think we figured it all out. That's not even, no, we need to be humble before our God, walk humbly. You know, that's what he requires of us. It's you can't even serve him that way if you think you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, we know something right now, you see in part, you know, so it's like, there's going to be some things that we literally just don't get it.
Yeah.
But to be okay with that, to be okay with that and say, I don't need to get it because you do. And you're right. Whether I understand or not, you're right.
Well, that's interesting, Chels, because I feel like, honestly feel like we get it. It's like here's the getting. Like,
sure.
You know, like, there's certain things that you don't, I feel like what you may be saying is that you don't understand why certain things had to happen a certain way.
And we don't see we're not always going to see the direct
link.
This
to
happened
it.
And then this person was affected this way, right. And that person, and then you were here and that happened. Yes. We don't see all of that all the time.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we know that whatever happened, literally, good or bad, God is working all things so he can get glory.
That's it.
So,
and for our good.
And for our good on listen, now that's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It's like he's working things for our good and so that he can get glory. Now, if he's being funny, saying basically what's for your good is to give me glory. All right. That's funny. All right. I got you, God.
And still true.
But that is why. Like, this is our why.
Mm-hmm.
Our why is literally seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, all things past that can be added to you.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the glory of God is the motivating factor of God.
Yeah.
Of all things. Like, anything. I was trying to get glory out of that. Yeah. I was trying to get glory out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine to be okay with that.
It is.
It is. Especially when you really look back, you got to look back at your childhood traumas, especially if people have been through some stuff, you know, people have stories and that was a lot of stuff. You talk about natural disasters and growing up in the hood and watching domestic violence and having a health challenge or, you know, refugees and
bullying,
you know, and bullying
all kinds of
and
stuff.
All these childhood traumas. And you just look back and be like, man, that just seemed like a lot. And certain places, it doesn't even feel like it was worth it.
Yeah.
But I think that the Lord is gracious enough that if you actually really wanted to know, I feel like he would tell you. And I do agree that he would give you, like, the peace about it.
Yeah. Because sometimes that peace passes understanding.
Right. But
sometimes it does.
Yes. And I think you're right in that regard, that that the peace that he'll give about these situations is really enough.
Yeah. It has to be.
It has to be. Because you can't, like the Bible says that his ways are past finding out.
Yeah.
It's like, even if he told you, you probably wouldn't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'd be like, God, why do I have to go through all this? He'd be like, seven. You'd be like, seven?
What does that mean?
Well, I don't have to explain. Then he's, I don't have to explain you what seven means. You right. Know? Like, you know, seven. All right. But now I said, all right, cool. You know, oak trees, you know? And you'd be like, what?
You know what this reminds me of? Because Jesus spoke in so many parables, and they were straight up like, why do you keep talking like that?
Yes.
They're and to him, he's like, this makes total sense. This
makes total sense, right? Don't you see
you know?
It?
This makes total sense.
Jesus was funny.
But the thing is, it's so crazy because those cryptic things actually make sense more
once it clicks. Yes.
You know, and he says, to you, it has been given to understand these things, not to everybody.
That's true.
You know?
A parable is a parallel. Mm-hmm. It's literally a parallel to, you know, to draw out a point in it.
Right.
Here is something that you can understand to explain something that you can't understand.
Yeah.
That's actually the purpose of the parable.
Yeah.
Which is very funny because it's like, because we think, this is why God is so good, Chels.
Mm-hmm.
Is because we think if God just tells us to, like, simple things, like, we would still just get them.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And not only would we not get them, they wouldn't stick. I had another friend. Yeah. I have deep conversations. Like, first of all, I'm a deep thinker.
You're a deep one.
And I'm a deep talker. And I've noticed now that, like, because every time we do these podcasts, I'm like, I was just talking to my friend about da-da-da-da. But, like, all the friends that I have talk the same way. So, here we are. But, and it's good. It's good. It's iron good. Sharpens iron.
Amen. My iron.
Amen. Ditto. But you know, I went out to dinner with a friend the other night, and she tells me this story that her grandfather told her when she was a kid, that I can't remember it verbatim, but it was like a little, what are those called, like the tortoise and the hare and all of that, what are those called,
fable.
Mm-hmm. It was like a fable, and I wish I could remember it verbatim, but the point was, don't let people tell you how to live your life, because like, you'll wind up you know, like, just in a pickle, you know?
I'm sorry. It sounded like a black fable. Don't let people tell you how to live your life.
Well, no, that's why I wish I could remember the story.
I'm sorry. That was so funny. Like, well, basically the point was, mind your business.
Right.
Black
logic.
Black, but yes, no. That's funny.
But no, it was really good though, because what it was like, different people were, first of all, it's like he knew what he was doing and why.
Right.
And then different people, onlookers that only saw from the outside looking in, were saying, why are you doing that? You should be doing this. And they're saying different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wound up not doing anything at all, and he like froze to death.
Wow.
And it's like he knew that he needed to keep moving, but he just got so mixed up in, oh, well, they said I should. And it like it froze him up, right?
Yeah.
And ruined his, took his life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but she said, like, I so appreciated that, because he could have just came to me and said, don't let people tell you how to live your life. Like, if you feel convicted about doing something, like, do what you feel is right.
Yes.
You know, don't worry about people's opinion. He could have just said that, and she could have forgot that
he
said it.
But
she said, when he told me that story, I never forgot it, and I had a whole different understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the Lord does.
Yes, that's amazing.
That's what the Lord does, because he says, you won't remember this that I said.
No.
It won't stand out to you. You won't understand how to apply it.
Right.
It won't, like, you know, it's like I'm literally, and it's crazy, because as a homeschooler, like and me being someone who's an overthinker, I literally have looked at all the different types of curriculums, all the teaching methods, all the, you know, like learning styles and all these things. And there are certain curriculums out. Well, the classical curriculum method specifically is modeled after the way that Jesus taught.
Right.
And he was the best teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like when we really look at the way that he taught in a way that like, really, it makes no sense for you not to understand. However, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm. It's rough. It's rough, Lord.
So, like, it's funny because sometimes it's not even that it's so complex. It's just that we don't want to hear it.
Ah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're preaching now.
It's a lot.
You know what? And when you said that, I feel like there's three things I need to say. Number one, when people preach, like, typically storytelling is an excellent method of trying to relay a sermon, because people, we have a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if God put it in this, but, like, when you start telling a story, immediately everybody's ears perks up. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter if you're boring, anything. Oh, here's a story about such and such. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What you got going on there? And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's just something that God put in us. Mm-hmm. But I also have experienced that when I'm talking to people about the Lord, and especially sometimes people have, like, questions, and they're trying to, like, well, but, you know, but I was like, the Lord be giving so many examples to me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about stuff that I don't even, like, like, it ain't even in my mind to say. And it's in those moments, God be like, that's just like this. You wouldn't slice a loaf of bread from the middle, would you? You know, and that's a bad one, because ain't nobody talking about Christ right now. So if they were, I would have had a better one. But that's just amazing. But I think it's worth saying that even Christ, and this is something I learned, at least I learned from this Pastor Morris. I love this guy. He says so much good stuff. But that Christ, when he comes back in Revelations, he's talking to the seven churches. And the last church is the church of Laodicea. And this is the lukewarm church. Right. If I'm saying, I believe it's Laodicea, and they were lukewarm.
OK.
And he says, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other.
Yeah.
And now what many people have misinterpreted and thought that said that God said, oh, it would be better for you to be hot for God or cold towards God. And that's not true, because that doesn't make any sense. God would, I think actually it would make more sense for God to say, well, I'd rather you be lukewarm than you be cold towards me. Right. Because if you were lukewarm, that means you kind of like cared a little bit, as opposed to like, I'm hot for God. I'm on fire. I'm completely cold towards God and I don't know him. And lukewarm is somewhere in the middle. But he says this, that Laodicea was a town, or I guess a province, that had no natural running water. So there was a time where they had to put like clay pipes into the ground. I don't know if that's called irrigation or whatever, but basically we're going to pump water into this town so that you'll have water to drink. And there was two towns that it came from. One had natural hot springs and the other one had cold water.
Of course.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is what's going on. This is what really happened in Laodicea.
That's crazy.
Is they were being pumped from two different places.
Wow.
And by the time it got to Laodicea, either way, it was lukewarm.
Wow.
And it was said in the land, you don't even want to drink the waters of Laodicea because they'll make you throw up.
Wow.
And so this is Christ saying that he was, once again, he's using an example
That they will understand.
That they will understand.
It directly applies to them.
Exactly.
Wow.
And this is how you know it's Christ talking in Revelations. And that's something people don't even know. I was like, oh,
see, and
wow.
That's the good stuff, because people people want to pick and choose, like, oh, how do we know that was, you know, inspired? Like, people only want to accept the Torah, or they only want to accept the Old Testament, or just the Old Testament and the Gospels, and not like Paul's writings and Revelation and all those things. But there's like, you know, the whole process of putting the Bible together was these people looking at those things to see, like, is this cohesive?
Yeah.
And amazing. It is. It's all cohesive.
Listen, people that's be crazy. In the book, man. Like, shining, and God bless Pastor Robert Morris and Gateway, because they've blessed my soul, man.
That's
guy,
crazy. Wow.
People be in the book. Like, people that be in the book, like, they be in the book.
I know.
I'm like, bruh, like, I didn't know anything about that.
See, and that's the part where, like, pastors really need to be focused on being.
They do.
Well, not just pastors, because there's different types of pastors, but, like, if you're going to be preaching the word, like, your life really needs to be dedicated to preaching the word.
It has to be.
Because that's the only way you can even get to those things.
And if you talk to these people, Chelsea, and literally Bishop Hargrove said something to this last week, where he went to perhaps seminary or conference or something. He said there was a guy up there about 90 years old, and he would quote scripture like, you know, like he was reading it.
Wow.
You know, just quoting it. And they're going with him, following along. He said, he walks up to him and said, man, how you quote that scripture? And the guy says to him, like, I don't know anything. Like, I don't, listen, this book is like, listen, I'm a babe. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what these people are. It's like, if you spent your lifetime, this is here on earth, trying to explain God's word mm-hmm. and the power of it and the understanding, it's like, it don't matter how far you get, you don't even get it.
Wow.
Like, yeah. this is when God says, my ways are past finding out.
That's it. It's too much.
Like, these are my ways. It's like...
infinite knowledge.
Chels. Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel knew the acts of God.
Yeah.
Like, Moses had a deeper plane. But this was Moses, like, you know, before the word was even written. It's like, the reason we even have the word is God is giving us something that we can try and understand him by. Mm-hmm. And we can't even understand that really that good.
Yeah.
So imagine how much more we would be, like, worse off if we said, okay, well, let's try and understand God now.
Whew.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I can't understand the words he put in this book.
Right.
Without him giving me literally revelation.
Yeah.
But when he does, it's always so good.
It's so good. And it's enough to trust him.
It is. There you go.
That's it.
Now you're preaching.
And it's enough to trust him.
It's enough to trust
because
him.
Because it's not all of it, but it's not for us to understand all of it. And if we can just realize our place, you know, like our place, our position in the whole grand scheme of things, it's okay. That's just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not him, and that's not my job.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
My job is to trust him.
Yeah, Chels, it's not for you
and obey.
It's not for you to know the times and seasons and blah blah blah. It's like, you don't need to know everything.
No, you don't.
No,
and we don't know the burden it would be.
Oh yeah,
to know everything.
You ain't lying. Oh, like, God, Chelsea, be quiet.
Okay.
when Daniel, the Lord, you know, he tells Daniel about, hey, this is what the end time is going to be like, and it breaks Daniel.
Yeah.
It's like, it troubled me in my spirit. Yeah. Like, he was depressed about it.
Speaking of Jeremiah.
Yes.
Speaking of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was tore up over seeing that his people were going into captivity in Babylon, and no matter what I'm on assignment to tell you and warn you, Chelsea. But the Lord has already told me you won't listen.
Chelsea.
And I know that it's going to happen regardless.
Chelsea, be quiet, yo. just stop. I can't, like it was so crazy. Because I literally just finished Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really read Jeremiah before in my life. And and at certain points, they're kind of just saying, this is all the calamity I'm going to bring. Mm-hmm. And then certain times, they go into the story.
Yeah.
And the way that God preserved Jeremiah is like, he uses the captain of the guard of Nebuchadnezzar. It's like Nebuchadnezzaran.
I'm just getting there now.
Right. Okay. Yes. Well, I don't want to ruin it for you.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
It's fine.
But he, like, literally, the captain of the guard, like, this is the guy who's in charge of the Nebuchadnezzar's army.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming to the province of Jerusalem, and they're killing people.
Yeah.
Doesn't kill Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Says, Jeremiah, you go live with, I can't remember the person's name, but you go live over there. It was so odd to me. It stuck out to me like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Because I was like, first of all, who is this Nebuchadnezzar or something like that? He's the captain of the guard. I'm like, it shows you, like, just how good God is and his favor.
Yeah.
To be like, you know, not to mention, let's not act like, you know, Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are in the king. They're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So God has these people placed, and it really makes me wonder who the captain of the guard really was, because he sees Jeremiah and he says, he says what Jeremiah said to them, to Jeremiah.
Mm.
He says it.
Oh,
These people have you know, basically whatever he said. He said they've cursed the Lord and they've turned from his heart.
Okay.
He says it to Jeremiah.
Oh, wow.
And then he says, you know, then he gets down like, all right, Jeremiah, you're going to go live with such and such. I was just like,
okay, so he's a prophet?
I don't know. But it's like, it means that if Jeremiah, this is it, Chels, if Jeremiah had let it shut up in his bones and he didn't say it.
Because he didn't want to say it.
And it may have.
But I had to.
I had to do it.
Yeah.
It may have never got to the captain of the guard.
Wow.
The captain of the guard knew what Jeremiah prophesied against Israel.
Wow.
And that same captain saved his life.
Him.
And it saved his life.
Jesus.
Get up you off know, this podcast. I ain't got
okay.
time.
No, I'm going to tell you what's really crazy. So yesterday, I don't know if you heard me while you were cooking. I was in there like,
No, I didn't.
I was going.
No, I didn't. I didn't know what you was doing in there.
So my mother gave me a journal.
Mm-hmm.
That's written. So my mother is doing an internship right now. She's almost completed, you know, everything she needs to do to be a licensed therapist. My mom is a Christian. She works at a Christian wellness center, counseling center, and you know the founder of the center is a Christian. And but she also is, you know, very heavily degreed and everything, and she's a therapist and owns her own practice. So she, the director there, she created this journal, and I flipped through it, and it's so good, and I'm excited to have it. I was really glad that my mom decided to gift that to me for Christmas. But the moment that I opened up the gift, I said, I really want my friend to have this too. I hadn't even flipped through it and read through it good or anything. I just said, wow, this would be good for my friend to have. It just, that was just it. Like, oh, that would be a blessing to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell my mom that, and I had intended on, you know, when I could, buying one for my friend as well. And I was asking, like, how do I get it and everything?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom, it was on her heart to just go ahead and order one for my friend. So I go pick it up. I just gave it to my friend on Friday. And so this friend has been feeling like a strong, well, first of all, this friend and I, speaking of childhood trauma, we trauma bond.
Mm-hmm.
We trauma bonded is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That is how she and I became close. We trauma bonded. And so we've been through a lot of these things on this list. And I don't know that many people, you know, that I share that with,
mm-hmm.
where it was like, not just one or two, but like not like 6-7, you know, and
yeah.
out of these 8, you know, I don't know that many people that I've at least talked to enough and gotten close to enough to know that about them.
Yeah.
And so she and I, praise the Lord, we came together and, you know, we got close enough to actually share that with each other. And so that was my immediate thought with this journal. Is like, it's like a we've been talking for like the past like 3 years, and she's my devotional study partner. Like, mm. we're going through the Bible book by book together, slowly but surely. And it's been like 3 years at this point that mm. we've been doing this together. But in this process of going through the Word, it's like the Lord has also been having us dig up our trauma,
mm-hmm.
and like confront it and be healed. You know, it's all about, and we just kept like, all right, like we feel like the Lord wants us to be whole, because I feel like in the Christian community, a lot of times it can be, and I've run into this because of, you know, issues with paying for therapy. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
And I've sought out just like spiritual counseling, because a lot of times churches offer that for free. And what I've run into is, oh, your walk with the Lord is so strong, you know, like, oh, you just, you know, your word, and they'll be, you want to pray out? Oh, that was a powerful prayer. And they're just like, you don't even need me.
You don't need the Lord neither.
You don't even need me. I'm going to just give you a couple scriptures. You just meditate on this. You're going to be all right. And but however, in the experience that I am having,
mm-hmm.
In my life experience and in my personal self, as well as what I've observed of others, I very much identify with what Mike Todd likes to say is theology and therapy.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not holistic wellness. If like, oh, because God is good and because God is sovereign, mm-hmm. and because I have a relationship with him, it's just the joy of the Lord is my strength. And like, so I don't address my trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't address my issues.
Right.
I don't address that there are actual mental and emotional factors,
yes.
that need to be directly addressed and not in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same way, and I say this all the time, but it's the best example I have. The same way you don't tell a cancer patient, oh, well, you're cool with the Lord, so you don't need to go get chemo.
Right.
You don't say that to them. There are certain things that need direct attention.
Correct.
And it just is what it is in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
you know, that's something I've kind of struggled with church people, mm-hmm. where they're just like, oh, you're fine because you love the Lord and you walk with the Lord. And I'm like, but I'm not fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine in that sense. Praise God. But like, I need, there's a holistic wellness,
mm-hmm.
that's not there. It's not well-rounded. It's not being fully addressed. And so, you know, she and I have talked about that, how us coming up, we've been in the church since we were born.
Right.
And we were almost conditioned to believe that something's wrong with us if God is not enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he's not enough. It's just that he uses other ways.
Yes.
And there's just other things to be addressed. So, you know, other than just like, you know, your spiritual being, we're more than just a spiritual being in this natural world, you know? So you do have to address the physical and the emotional and the mental and all of that as well. And so she and I've been just talking about being on this journey to being whole, whole, you know, healed wholly. And so, and how God wants that for us,
right?
You know, because sometimes we can use spirituality as a band-aid and not actually like address issues. So like we really have gotten to the, okay, he really actually wants us to be healed in every place. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of just been the journey we've been on and what we've focused on a lot over the past 3 years, but also that she now has been feeling like she's called. She's not sure if it's to preach, but she just knows she's being called to study his word deeper.
Yes.
So she's been doing that. And in her doing that, you know, she did go to the pastor and say, you know, I may be called to preach. Like, I feel like I am. And so he had her working on like, well, just bring something to me. Like, that would be like your trial sermon. And I'll kind of walk you through the process of like, how to develop one,
right?
And like, you know, and just give you some feedback, let you know if this really seems to be what the Lord, you know, your gifting, as well as just give you the tools to be able to do it if it is. And so she's really been drawn. I'm sorry, this is long, but it's worth it. She's really been drawn to Genesis, where we were created in his image and in his likeness, and how we're like malfunctioning, you know, and how he wants to restore us to our original function. And so she's been really stuck on that a lot. And so my mom gives me this journal and I'm like, oh, she should have this journal. And then yesterday I sat down with the journal and started to actually read it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, when I tell you that everything that we've been discussing, everything that the Lord has been, like, it's amazing. The journal itself is, she's talking about how the Lord wants us to be whole and healed, mind, body, and spirit. The journal is separated into three sections, tabs that say my mind, my body, my spirit. We were even talking about just our physical health. You know, he wants the whole being to be whole and well and healed, you know? And so we've been talking about, and with my body, it has like recommendations for like physical health in addition to scripture, in addition to, you know what I'm saying? It's like a, it's a holistic approach. And so that already caught me. But then there were also some, just, I flipped to a certain page and she was just talking about seeing ourselves the way God sees us.
Right.
I flipped to a certain page and it says, Lord, please help me to see myself the way that you see me. It's like everything was just, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it just was mind blowing. But the way that you were feeling about just the connections that are being made, the confirmation that comes. But on top of that, I'm reading the intro. And right before I opened up the journal, I had a Marco Polo message on my phone and I just checked it from a friend of mine named Danielle. And for some reason, it was a a note. It was written. And it said the pools. And I was like, what does that mean? Is she trying to say the polos and she just had a typo? But I'm like, the pools. So I poloed her. I was like, I don't know what you mean by that, but it says the pools. So I get off and then I open this journal and I'm going through and I'm reading the introduction. And at the end of the introduction, it says, do you want to be healed? And it has John 5:3. And John 5 is talking about the pools at Bethesda.
Yes.
Like, what in the world?
Acting up.
My friend just sends me this random note. And I can't wait because she poloed me back now. And I want to hear what she has to say about it. Like, why did you type the pools?
Right.
But I wound up telling her. I got back on there like, I don't know why you wrote that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cray cray. But yeah, it's talking about that man who had been lame for 30 some odd years.
Yes.
And he was just waiting by the pool. because the angel would stir the water and the first one who could get in there would be healed. And he said, but I can never get in there in time. I'm never the first one because I'm lame. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't pick myself up and go over there, you know. But then when Jesus comes, he says, do you want to be healed? Mm-hmm. And then he says, take up your bed and walk. Yeah. And just like that, just like that, something that was 30 something years.
Yeah.
It's over now.
It's over. Yes, he can do that.
That's amazing to me. But yeah, so just, yeah, I've been definitely in a similar spot of just like so much confirmation to where it's like bashing me over the head. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, Lord, I hear you.
Thank you.
But I thank you because the fact that he takes the time to even get our attention that way and communicate with us that way is crazy.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And I think I'll end here. In conclusion, I'm going to turn this Bible to Psalm 8.
Amen. While you're turning, can I say one last thing?
Certainly.
Don't shy away from marriage because you don't want to be in charge of taking on someone else's baggage.
Yeah.
A lot of people stay away from marriage for that reason. They feel like, oh, we're just all too broken to actually have a marriage that can work. And with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And the glory of God is often seen when the things that you have to endure are just not for you at all, but for someone else. You know, so it may be that part of your purpose is to, you know, bear your spouse's burdens and pray with your spouse and love on your spouse and correct your spouse and all of that to like help them come to a place of wholeness, in Christ Jesus. And that is part of the beauty of marriage, and it's not something to be shied away from. It's an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to read Psalm 8, but then you said something different, so now I got to read a different verse. Matthew 11. And it said, well, this is Matthew 11. Jesus gives true rest. Matthew 11, verse 25. And it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Amen. Coming together, especially under God, that burden for other people, you're not really taking it on. Really, everything that they have, you're supposed to give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he will take it on, and then he will show you the way. It'll show you how to navigate those traumas, because he claimed that for whom the Son sets free
is free indeed.
He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. He wants you to be free.
Yeah.
And he will literally make provisions for you to be free. But he says to the man at the pool,
mm-hmm.
Do you want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
This is a question.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like an obvious question,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, because some people aren't even seeking for it. Do not accept where you are.
Yeah.
And understand that God has called you to greater. And greater is not always fashionable or famous or you know, things that people would desire that are worldly. But no, God has called you to greater in his kingdom spiritually.
Yeah.
Do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
Do you want to be free of your trauma?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want it to glorify God? He will make a way for that.
Amen.
If you set your heart towards and seek his face, he'll show you.
Amen.
Amen. I love you, baby.
Love you too.
And we love you all. We'll see you next time.
God bless.